Hello and welcome to Osborne Clark's Future of Financial Services podcast. This series is inspired by our annual Future of Financial Services Week, where we explore challenges and solutions in this rapidly changing sector. My name is David Sorensen, and I'm a senior knowledge lawyer in the Financial Institutions Group at Osborne Clark. I'm joined by Chris Hickey, who's an associate director in our team. Chris is our expert in the sustainability disclosure requirements and labeling regime, aka the SDR, and also presented this new regime in our recent Future of Financial Services Week. In today's episode, we are exploring the SDR in more detail, and thank you for joining us. So, Chris, why has the Financial Conduct Authority introduced the SDR? What is the regulator trying to achieve here?
Hi, David. Thank you for having me. The amount of assets managed in ESG funds has grown considerably in the last few years, and there's been a proliferation of funds making ESG claims. Now, there's an increasing concern from the regulators, both in the EU and, of course, in the UK, of greenwashing, and that customers are losing confidence that ESG claims actually stand up to scrutiny. So, for example, the FCA found that 7 in 10 investors say that they think that many investments that claim to be sustainable actually aren't. And ultimately, what does this do? Well, it undermines market integrity. The EU have introduced their sustainable finance disclosure regime, known as the SFDR, and now the FCA have the UK's version of this on the table, the SDR. The FCA has a strategic objective to make sure that relevant markets function well, and is aiming to ensure that relevant markets function well by increasing transparency on the sustainability goals and features of the products and the firms themselves, and by reducing the risk of harm from greenwashing. So whilst this also feeds into the government's goal to reach net zero, the primary goal of the regulator is simply to ensure that investors are not misled when investing. And this has been a recurring theme for regulators over the years, and ultimately isn't actually new.
No, I don't think it is new. What are the gist of the rules here, and who will be primarily affected by the SDR?
So the rules will impact all FCA authorised firms, really some of the rules will, but mainly authorised fund managers are those who will be impacted. And how will they be impacted? Well, it's in terms of how they name and market their funds. There's rules around what sustainability information must be provided. And also there's an opt-in labelling regime for products. So in this context, funds, which is being introduced. There's also some more specific requirements around UK distributors. And finally, and this is something I alluded to earlier, saying, well, ultimately it impacts all FCA authorised firms. There are quite broad provisions relating to anti-greenwashing, which reiterate existing rules that claims must be clear, fair, and not misleading. That's in the FCA's Conduct of Business sourcebook, but also introducing new guidance, which explains exactly what that means in relation to sustainability-related claims. And these requirements apply to all FCA authorised firms. And I should also add that the rules will be gradually phased in over the next few years, starting from the 31st of May this year.
I see. So looking at the core regime, if I'm a fund manager, what do I really need to do here and now?
Well, I think at the moment, it's a bit of a scoping exercise, really. So as a fund manager, you need to ask yourself some questions. So amongst others, yeah, what funds do you have? Are they with scope here? What label, if any, will be used? And off the back of this kind of scoping exercise, you can then determine what rules will impact you and also what rules don't impact you. Taking overseas funds as an example, they're not actually currently in scope of the disclosure provisions, but UK domiciled funds are. Under the SDR, funds are essentially, or can be sort of split up into three groups. So you've got your labelled funds, you have unlabeled sustainable funds, and then funds which don't really fall into either bucket, non-sustainable funds. And which bucket the relevant fund falls into will drive the extent of the disclosures that need to be provided. So very much a scoping exercise at this stage. once you know what rules apply, obviously, then you can start planning to make sure that you can implement your own compliance with the relevant rules within the deadlines.
I see. So what types of disclosures are required for fund managers?
So there's a range of requirements that apply, which are applicable under different circumstances. So certain disclosures consist of short pre-contractual information, which summarise the key sustainability characteristics of the fund. So almost an ESG kid, if you like. And these are disclosures which are very much geared towards your retail investors. There's more detailed disclosures, ultimately the aim being to provide further information to either retail investors who want to know more or kind of institutional investors in the fund's prospectus or PPM. There's ongoing annual sustainability reporting that could impact fund managers as well with respect to their funds. And I think it's worth noting here that fund managers will need to provide sustainability reports for labelled funds or non-labelled funds that are using sustainability related terms in their name or in their marketing. And then also separately, there's requirements relating to sustainability reporting for the fund managers themselves, the kind of entity-based reporting. That is, unless their assets under management, their AUM, is below a threshold of £5 billion.
Right, that sounds like quite a lot of work potentially. So if I was a fund manager, what's the absolute minimum I have to do at the moment to make sure I comply with this regime when it comes into force?
So if we're talking absolute baseline, the minimum you can do, as a starting point, that would be refraining from using sustainability relating terms. So these are terms that imply that the fund has environmental or sustainable characteristics, such as referring to the fund as responsible or using terms such as ESG or green, amongst others. So that's the minimum you can do is having a framework to ensure that you don't inadvertently use sustainability related terms in your fund name or any financial promotions relating to that fund marketed to retail clients. That's the baseline. Albeit fund managers may not actually want to do so. You know, I think we'll come on a little bit later into the potential benefits, for example, of having a label should firms want that, for instance.
So this is probably a stupid question, but if I go with the bare minimum, why is that the minimum? What happens if I don't have that in place?
So if you don't have this sort of framework of preventing use of these sustainability relating terms, that then the use of such terms essentially triggers the bulk of the SDR disclosure rules.
I see. Okay, so that explains why that will be a minimum. And going to the opposite end of the spectrum, as you alluded to, what's the absolute maximum I can do in this space?
So I guess, you know, taking it back to basics, what the SDR does is to force fund managers and other firms to either stop making sustainability claims or provide a framework for funds that do so to adhere to. So these additional rules provide additional compliance obligations, but also an opportunity as well. So fund managers that are serious about sustainability can, for instance, use such labels and continue to market their product without having their credibility tainted by other actors who are putting forward more spurious sustainability claims. So the idea being here that there's fewer funds making ESG claims. So those that do make such claims, for instance, via having one of these labels, they obtain a significant marketing advantage for investors who are looking to invest sustainably. So fund managers who really want to optimize the benefit of the SDR can consider opting into the labeling regime.
So my understanding is that the labeling regime you've just mentioned is really core to the SDR. And in this respect, it's fundamentally different to the EU's Sustainable Finance Disclosures Regulation. I also understand that the rules are bringing in four types of labels, which are basically trademarks you can inform the FCA that you're going to use. And then you can embed these sort of logos within your marketing. Could you provide a bit more color on exactly how this regime works? Once you've got your logos on your marketing, what are the consequences of that?
Sure. Well, yeah, as a starting point, it is an opt-in regime. So as you say, you notify the FCA that you'll use the label in advance. You know, they don't specifically authorize its use, but you must ensure that the fund lives up to certain eligibility criteria. And what that means, for example, is in layman terms, labeled funds must invest at least 70% of their assets in accordance with their sustainability objectives. So broadly speaking, each asset within the fund's portfolio is either sustainable or it's not. And the fund's assets must be selected with, this is very important here, with reference to a robust evidence-based standard that is an absolute measure of environmental and or social sustainability. Now, the FCA set out more detailed requirements to how funds must select their assets. And I think it's fair to say the bar is set relatively high, and more detailed disclosures applied to those funds which do have labels. Looking at the labels specifically, each fund can opt into one of the following mutually exclusive labels. So firstly, there's the sustainability focus labels. These are for funds which invest in assets that focus on sustainability for people or the planet. Secondly, we have sustainability improvers. They're funds in that invest in assets that might not be sustainable now, but have an aim to improve their sustainability. Third, we have sustainability impact labels. So these are funds that invest in solutions to sustainability problems with an aim to achieve a positive impact for people or the planet. And then there's a sort of fourth label, a fourth bucket, if you like, of sustainability mixed goals. I mean, it kind of does what it says on the tin. It's a fund that invests mainly in assets that are a mix of the three first labels.
I see. And you also mentioned earlier that overseas funds are not in scope of the SDR disclosures. And here in the UK, we have quite a large volume of overseas funds. I think it's to the tune of 2,000 or 3,000 that are marketed to in the UK. A lot of those are marketed to retail investors. What's the reason that these overseas funds are not in scope?
So it's the Treasury prerogative, essentially. It's, you know, the unfortunate consequence is we do have a kind of unlevel playing field here. So investors won't get the same information from overseas funds, as these funds can't use the sustainability labels. On the contrary, however, UK distributors of these funds must actually flag to retail investors when promoting such funds that the funds aren't in scope of the SDR. The FCA is keen to take this forward with respect to overseas funds. And this is, I think, the first area where the regime is likely to be expanded. However, I think it's important to note this area is pretty political, and I think we just have to wait and see what the results are here.
Right, yes. You know, at the moment, this is mainly a regime which is put in place to safeguard against mis-selling towards retail investors. But what impact do you think this would have on funds which are exclusively for institutional investors only?
So I think it's important here to distinguish between the short term and the long term. So in the short term, yes, there are provisions that only apply to funds made available to retail investors. And we should note here, retail investors could also include high net worth individuals. So it's not just funds which are ultimately being promoted to your average person on the street. However, the anti-greenwashing rule applies to any communication from an authorised firm. So any ESG claims towards institutional investors will need to comply with the rules and the associated guidance. The guidance isn't actually finalised as yet, but the key salient point here is that you must be able to substantiate any and all claims. Looking further down the road, given that the SDR embeds product eligibility criteria, we think at least some institutional investors, so your pension funds, for example, will ultimately require their product providers to be compliant with SDR, as this gives you a product which is provided by an authorised provider. The product is subject to minimum requirements, and there's a degree of FCA supervision around it as well. So ultimately, that's kind of where we see it going. Also, as a final point, the regime is set, as we've talked about, to expand in both depth and in breadth, meaning the SDR will cover other entities ultimately, so other products, so other pension products, investment products, financial advisors, and also the detail of the rules is likely to be expanded as well. So much to come.
Much to come. Thanks, Chris. So here on the cusp of implementing the compliance with SDR, I was wondering if you could just briefly summarize the key takeaways for our listeners.
Sure. Thanks, David. So there's two points here I'd quite like to reiterate, if I may. So the first is scope. So as we've alluded to, appearances can actually be deceiving. You know, proper consideration as to whether your funds are impacted needs to be given. You can't just ignore the regime if you don't have any sustainable funds. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite work like that. And secondly, and this is connected to the first point, timing. Although it's a phased regime, the kickoff is not that far from now at all. It's just a few months away. Recently, the FCA has, in a not so subtle prompt to firms to get thinking about this properly, actually put together a SDR web page that's also really helpful. So we recommend that firms take a look at that. So now really is the time you need to turn your attention to this.
Thank you, Chris. That's really helpful. I mean, I'm sure we will hear a lot more about the FCA's sustainable disclosure requirements and labelling regime going forward. And we both hope that our listeners have found this as a helpful introduction to the SDR. Thank you for listening to the Future of Financial Services podcast. You can subscribe for future episodes wherever you get your podcasts.